seen the documents. All the plans are in place. It's already written up. So why would America go along with all this? Why would you want to give up the strong independence of this country, which has been a shining light for the gospel for 200 years or more? How could you be forced to give it up? Well, bankruptcy, the financial crisis is one of the main events which I think will do it. America probably is technically bankrupt already. I keep seeing every day sums that are almost unimaginable. We'll take $1,000 billion. No, someone else said it's going to take $2,000 billion to actually sort all these problems out. Well, this money doesn't exist, of course. It's being created out of thin air or borrowed or taken from the taxpayers. So what the end result is, if you create too much of anything, you have a devaluation of that subject, whatever it is, whether it's a product or a currency. So the American dollar is not long for this world because it's being destroyed by those who say they are saving the economy. We know that the housing market is in free fall. Things are getting worse, I believe. I don't think we're anywhere near the end of these problems. I think what they've done is actually staved off the inevitable for a little while. And I think the end crash will be a lot worse than it need have been. In fact, on the front of our website for 2 years, we've had a warning sign flashing saying, here comes the greater depression. We've got something about it in the book, actually. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm too pessimistic, but I can add up, and I don't like the look of these figures at all. It looks bad to me. Every day we hear of banks in trouble. The last figure of banks in trouble I had was 117. America is having to borrow $1.5 billion a day from foreigners just to stay afloat. That's Uncle Sam mostly, but other organizations as well. And the problem with the American way of life that's developed, same in Britain, but I'm talking in America, is that few Americans can afford it. We've been taught that we can have instant gratification. In the real world, that doesn't happen. We can't have everything our little hearts desire. I had a very poor upbringing, and we had, as many of you have told me, you too had, we had an outhouse across the yard, you know, and we didn't have a bathroom, we didn't have heating, and I learned that you can get by on very little. And I was 24 before I had hot running water and showers and things like this. And I realized there are no greater luxuries than having running water and heat in your house. Anything else is a complete irrelevance. But people today have never gone through hardship, and it's going to come as a terrible shock when they have to face the hardship that's coming. The shares are tumbling, the pensions are tumbling. The only thing that's not tumbling is the rock on which we must stand. We must look to the Lord in these times, because the Lord will get us through, but the world is going to have a very tough time. Here's a picture of Helicopter Ben Bernanke. Before he became governor of the Fed, he said that if things got very bad, he'd take up a helicopter and throw dollar bills out. So if you hear blades whirling overhead, go out with a big bag. You might catch a few. He said, that's what we'll do to stimulate the economy. And pretty much that is what they're doing. I thought that was interesting. So when all this comes to fruition, and it's coming very rapidly, I think, you are going to have chaos and war or a new world order. You will be told that, well, only a new world order can cope with all the problems, the global problems, the pollution that's worldwide, the currency collapse that's worldwide. And remember, since 1971, another speaker said this, the dollar has not been backed by anything other than faith, really. Well, if you have faith in government's ability to paper over the cracks, then you have more credibility than, I think, common sense, because I don't think the paper currency will last very much longer, which is why gold is going up very fast. People around the world don't trust their governments. They don't trust the paper coming off the printing press. Not backed by gold anymore. We've gone off the gold standard. So people are buying gold because at least that's a worldwide store of value. That's a sign that things are bad when the gold starts shooting up. Here comes the one world currency. This was proposed back in 1960 by a man who was Prime Minister of Luxembourg. And in 1998, when presented with a prize for his ideas, he said a single currency could embrace the whole planet to be called the Mondo. There's another man called Robert Mundell who goes around the world saying we must merge our currencies. He's the man who was known as the father of the euro. And he said something that was quite interesting. Always look to see the language they use. He said, Bringing in the world currency will technically be easier, will, not could be, but will be easier than bringing in the euro, which is actually the currency of 16 formerly independent nations of Europe, not Britain yet. Here is something that I think Bob referred to. Here is the actual clip. This man is Steve Prevost. He's a leading London money man, and he said on CNBC, the Amaro, that's the one thing nobody is talking about, the currency that's coming your way soon. He said, the Amaro is the proposed new currency for the North American community, being developed right now between Canada, the US, and Mexico to make a borderless community just like the European Union. The dollar, the Canadian dollar, and the Mexican peso will be replaced by the Amaro. Then he said, the Canadians are pretty upset about this, but the Americans, they haven't really noticed, apart from the Texans. The Americans have got their heads in the sand. Well, maybe now some more of you know about it, because the Texans are waking up because the superhighway is going right through their backyard. They can't really fail to notice it. The world bankers and the movers and shakers, the financiers who are behind all this, they're very clever. Sometimes they put in something which is a little in-joke. This is a page from the Financial Times, and it was put in the Financial Times when the euro came out. Now, a page in the Financial Times costs a lot of money, and someone was serious money men put this in. It just says, yes, the yen, the euro, the dollar. In other words, we'll merge them, yes. That's what it means, you see. I spotted that straight away. What does the Bible say? Well, we know from Revelation 13 that the mark of the beast in the final end days will come in. And the Antichrist will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, etc. I won't read the rest of it. I'm sure you're very familiar with it. But this is clearly, I believe, the coming one world electronic currency. Cash will crash. You won't very often be able to use cash much longer. In fact, a lot of places in Britain don't like cash now. You can't write checks. They want cards with chips on, because that way they know everything you buy and sell. The United Nations is planning to tax you, and I do mean you, because America will provide a lot of the money. This is what the Secretary General, Boutros Ghali, why do they have such odd names? He urged the UN to consider imposing its own taxes. This was some time ago. And then another UN report came out in 1999, which said a tax of one US cent on every 100 lengthy emails would generate over $70 billion a year. Then Fidel Castro, the well-known world statesman and philanthropist, said a minimum tax of 1% on financial transactions would yield $1 trillion a year. So they've got big ambitions, you see. And these people, although we think they're very stupid, a lot of people in the UN listen to them, you see. So I think that's coming anytime soon, especially if President Obama decrees it, because he already plans a global tax, the Global Poverty Act, which in the next decade would transfer at least, and you can bet your boots it would be more than this, $845 billion of your money overseas. And it would be directed not by Americans, but by the do-gooders of the United Nations, who would no doubt divert some of it into their own pockets on the way, which is what usually happens. The EU is exactly the same, by the way. The Bilderbergers, who are they? You hear people talk about them. Well, a former British politician called Dennis Healey is a Bilderberger. Sometimes they come out in the open and they say, here we are, this is what we believe. This is what he said. World events do not occur by accident. They are made to happen. Do you think this crash has been made to happen? Whether it's to do with national issues or commerce, most of them are staged and managed by those who hold the purse strings. They can actually drive the stock market up or down at will if they're wealthy enough. Who are they? They're a clique of the richest, economically and politically most powerful and influential men in the Western world. They meet secretly to plan events that later appear just to happen. That's what the Times of London said over 30 years ago. A lot of people know this. In 1973, the Trilateral Commission was founded by David Rockefeller and Mr. Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor, and other like-minded eminent private citizens like the senior Bush. Mr. Brzezinski is now an advisor to Mr. Obama, or maybe a minder. So the show goes on. Whoever's in power, the same people are behind the scenes, pulling the strings like a puppet show, you see. Mr. McCain is just another foot soldier for the New World Order. Now, many of you may be